This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The question of the day was about Mother's Day and the ways in which you disappointed or annoyed your mother. And I'm surprised that it took till the break for people to start hitting us with, I mean, because we got like school trouble. I'm surprised it took us to that long to get law trouble. Somebody said they called their mom from jail, .. on her birthday. You might be a winner, friend.
Man, yeah.
You might be a winner. And then somebody else said they snuck out the house in their mom's car. I think it was 99 DeVille, they said. Came back with the police escort.
Oh,
so yeah.
Oh,
y'all are winners on this day. Y'all two specifically, make sure that y'all do
I'm
something
nice
you, for
mom
if you can.
Moms have earned it.
Yeah, make sure you do something nice for your mom if you can. All right, let's go around the NFL now, where we'll start with a little bit of Texans news first and foremost. The news that we got, was this yesterday or early this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Higgins, a shout out to the first pick for the Texans in this 2025 draft, the second rounder, doing something that second rounders before him were not able to do, which was securing his rookie contract fully guaranteed, all 4 years, $11.7 million of it. And that is the first time in NFL history that a second round pick has had their contract fully guaranteed. That is per Figgy's favorite, Ian Rappaport.
There we go.
He put that up there. And I mean, there's people that are, I know that Cam on the YouTube page was like, I really like this. Feel like you're getting good value for him. And I mean, I think that's already the place that you were in. I know that there was some evaluations that we found out after the draft that people had him as a first round type grade. And I think that's why you felt comfortable drafting him. I think we, through deductive reasoning, got to the idea that Jaden Higgins was one of those, that player that remained on the board that Nick Caserio talked about. But this is another instance of Nick Caserio pushing the boundaries of NFL norms, right? We've seen him, you know, obviously operate trades within division and do various things that, you know, sign guys early to extensions, things of that nature, consistently, that is. How far can or should Nick Caserio push the bounds of, like, flouting NFL norms?
Well, I think that the thing is, he's got C.J. Stroud. He's got, you know, players coming up, Will Anderson. That, you know, whatever it takes in terms of making sure that you can still extend your window with some of these rookie contracts, it's fully guaranteed. He's got some other guys that he can maybe do it. I thought Jalen Petrie was really kind of a value. I don't really care what other people think, you know, because, they're going to love him for this. Who cares? I mean, this is good for the Texans from a Texans perspective.
Yeah, to me, it seemed like it's creating a real good culture, too. That we rock with our players, like we trying to set that mold where it's like, oh yeah, I want to play for them because they look out for their players,
right? And I think that I agree with you wholeheartedly on that part. I think that is a part of recruiting that is not necessarily thought about. It's, I guess, in a way, a passive recruiting, if I can call it that.
Mm-hmm.
Where, hey, the way that we operate and within the building is something that is admirable that agents think about, and that filters down to players when they're making these decisions at some level of tiebreaker above compensation, which again, you tend to be good about. But there's other ways in which he kind of flouts norms. In some ways, like, he doesn't really care about, to some degrees, the evaluations or valuations, rather, of some of these things. Like, obviously, the trade up for Woody Marks. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of people that have looked at that like, hey, that might have been an overpay for that pick. But they were talking about it, or he was talking about it with Payne and Pendergast, the idea that, hey, man, if this is where you want to go, you do what you do. And, of course, they valued it at a different discount than I think the future pick. The future was that third round pick. That they gave up, right? Like, they value that in such a way that feels like it's different than, you know, some way some of these other teams valued it, which, to be fair, that's not unique to the Casario. There's other teams that value it this way, but it feels like he's comfortable overpaying. The Stephon Diggs acquisition can be viewed very much as an overpay to acquire. Like, those are the instances where you can see him pushing the bounds of those NFL norms. And I'm thinking about it, like, I think overarchingly, I think you guys are right that it is a good thing, but I do wonder at what point does it maybe become a detriment, or does it at all?
How so?
In your mind?
Yeah, how so?
Well, I mean, well, you push things to a place where you continue kind of going out of the norms, and I think the norms exist not just because it is the standard operating practice, but because it might make more sense operationally. And do you push yourself in a way where you start making decisions that aren't necessarily
I think the two things that are potentially, you know, risky here. I'm not going to say bad, but risky is. From a football perspective, this is also Nick Casario saying, this guy we like.
Yes.
This guy's going to be here. We're going to guarantee him. He's going to be that good. The risky part is, what if he isn't? Well, then you have to realize $11 million and change is not that much.
True.
So it's not that big of a risk. I mean, isn't it
11.7.
Yeah, 11.7. That ain't that much.
Yeah. No, it's not.
And then if they perform like how they think,
then it's a value. Perform,
that's kind of like with Nico Collins.
Yeah,
when he got paid, and like I wasn't sure if he's gonna be healthy or live up to it, but it looked like he needed to go back to the table again because they got a really good value on that.
Yes, they did.
All right, and he will be able to because they don't sign these, you know, critically long contracts. Mm-hmm. I imagine the players probably feel good about that as well. So, no, I think particularly in this instance, this feels like a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
It feels like he's going to be a part of what you're doing pretty early and fairly consistently. I mean, it would seem like. So, yeah, and you're right. If you do end up in a place where you're like, this isn't quite working out in a couple of years, because it feels like you would not give up on that experiment for a couple of years, even if, you know, all right, a couple of years eating a little bit of dead money on the back end wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Some other things that are going on around the NFL and, again, kind of around Houston. We got numbers, baby.
We got numbers.
The rookie numbers are out. We got some for the undrafted free agents as well. Which ones were the ones that caught you? Because I know, speaking of those guys at the top of the 2025 draft, the wide receivers out of Tennessee, they will be paired again with Jaden Higgins wearing 81 and Jalen Noel wearing 82. Now, it's worth remembering that, you know, these numbers aren't final. Like, numbers still can change between camp and the season. But you got a pairing of a couple of numbers that are right there in those early 80s, which I've got to admit, I kind of love. I miss seeing wide receivers wear the 80s.
I think those two are good. 81, 82, same draft class. You know, obviously same position, or, you know, very similar position at wide receiver. I like those two. How about Graham Mertz, number 18, Peyton Manning, baby. Peyton Manning, yep. Graham Mertz.
We got Jeff Saturday on the team. We got Peyton Manning on the team.
Yeah, we got Jeff Saturday. That would be Eli
Cox. We
got to
stop saying that. Like, that was fun for a set. We can't keep that going. We cannot make Eli Cox into Jeff Saturday before we see anything. Yeah. That's not fair to him. It's not fair to him at all.
But it's fun. The only thing about Eli Cox, he's wearing 65. He should have worn 63. Which was Jeff Saturday's number. For those not who weren't listening earlier, we were wondering best centers or offensive linemen, but specifically center that have been gone undrafted, because Eli Cox is going to have some kind of opportunity. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here.
I would imagine so.
And the best ever was Jeff Saturday. So there you go.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Some other notable ones, Ariante Ursary will wear 79 and not 69, as I had previously maybe hypothesized, which is what he wore in college. Luke Lachey, the tight end, seventh round tight end, not wearing a 80 number. He's actually wearing 42, which is, I mean, I enjoy that, like those 40s for tight ends. For some reason, it's kind of different. But isn't that basically like a fullback?
That's number? What you brought up, Biggie. Yeah. I like that thought. He's a blocker.
Yeah.
And he's wearing 42. That's a fullback number. Mm. So something to watch there. Woody Marks, number 27, channeling Eddie George. So we can only hope.
Okay, we got next Eddie George on the team.
Oh, that's what we're just going to make everybody into some other NFL player. That was great.
We've got Peyton Manning. We've got Jeff Saturday. We got Eddie George. I like the way this thing is starting, man.
Who was 81 again? Is that who was that?
Isn't that T.O.?
No, I'm talking about on the squad.
Oh, Jaden Higgins.
Oh, yeah. We got the next Randy Moss. You know,
so. Oh, yeah. That's even better.
I don't think he profiles like Randy Moss, though. But, I mean, look, I love me some Randy Moss. That is my favorite wide receiver.
Was he 81 or 84? I'm getting.
I thought he was 84. I think
84, okay.
Wasn't T.O. 81?
Yeah, T.O. was 81.
Yeah. He's more of a T.O. guy. So yeah. There you go.
Hey, I'll take T.O. All right, Nico guys. Collins and T.O.
Y'all are being unserious at this point. But while we speak of numbers, actually, we do have resolution to the Abdul Carter saga that had him ask Lawrence Taylor to possibly wear his number. And don't forget, he also asked Phil Simms to maybe wear that 11, which is the number that he wore at Penn State. Phil Simms was not really going for that, although supposedly Phil Simms was thinking about it. His family was like,
he said he was cool with it. Yeah,
don't do that.
Yeah,
he will wear 51, which feels like maybe an amalgamation of both of them.
Yeah,
I think Peter Schrager was one of those, or was it Kyle Brandt that was like, hey, take the five, take the one, put them together, there you go.
51.
But yeah, he will wear 51, so there you go. That is the answer.
Yep.
So he's going to be Will Anderson is what you're saying here.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, very good. But I did see this from, I think this is Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated, and I want to see if you agree with his sentiment when it comes to this number, because this was a huge talking point, obviously, what that number would be.
Sure.
And whose number would you possibly retire, or unretire rather, to do this. And I think Connor Orr had a solution that I find to be kind of interesting, where it's like, as opposed to like taking numbers entirely out of rotation, as we do, like this permanent thing that we have. He has the idea of having a patch on that number. So the number's still out there, but a patch that harkens to that particular player, so that in a way you kind of have it permanently out there. You have that visibility, because you kind of think about it, putting that number in the rafters to where it's not as front and center kind of takes away in some ways from the opportunity of thinking of that player. Can you imagine if you do have that number on the field, and every time you see the jersey, not only do you see the number, you also see that patch. You're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah. I don't mind the patch idea, first of all. I think that's, you know, make it really kind of very, very reverent of that player. I think that's a cool idea. The problem for me is I don't necessarily think it takes – everybody's always going to know who 56 was, who, you know, in New York, always going to know who 99 was. It's going to be in the stadium, et cetera. But living up to that is still going to be part of the equation. You know, like even if you do, you know, the patch and it's, you know, obviously a tribute to Lawrence Taylor or here J.J. Watt or whatever, it's still like you still got to live up to 56, man. You got to have some sort of mention of, you know, some sort of game that can live up to that.
I like that people on the text line are now playing the game of what are these numbers? Who are these people? What are their numbers? And yes, you're right, 936. I was trying to check this. Randy wore 84 early when he was in Minnesota. He wore 81 with New England.
That's right. Yeah.
What was that? 07? What a season.
Yeah. That was a hell of a season.
What a season.
We got him on the squad, baby.
Tom Brady was like, I didn't realize it could be like this.
Yeah.
Like, Deion Branch was cool, but this is something else.
I don't think nobody thought that, man, because he just came from Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he was a little bit washed up.
Hey, man. Y'all thought that. I used to love playing with Oakland back in the day. Was it Rich Gannon throwing it up?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it Tim Brown on the other side?
Tim Brown.
I loved it. That was my team. Like, I don't remember. Yeah. Was it? I don't remember what game I was playing with them. Was that ESPN NFL 2K5? Is
probably,
that what it was?
Probably so.
Brother, I loved. But that was my team. I played with the Oakland Raiders. Too. I was like, chuck it up there, dog. The Randy. I was, let's do this. So, yes. Appreciate you guys having fun. Someone said Mike Renfro, 82. Ernest Givens, 81. Okay.
All right.
Y'all keep those coming on the text line.
We got a squad building here, man.
Again, all of this is so unfair to the boys out there. We'll see what else is happening out there as reporters are watching.
Hey, Jalen Reed is 34. Earl Campbell in the secondary.
Why would what?
Earl Campbell in the secondary.
I feel like
let's do this.
If this game is gonna work, you have to keep the positions. We can't just be like, this is a person who wore that number who played an entirely different side of the football. I don't think it's fun that way.
It's kind of fun.
I don't think it is. It will be fun to see how Brian Schottenheimer's crazy.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys handle the George Pickens acquisition, how he works there. It seems like he's, you know, in talking to the media, he's ready to just get out there and perform. But interestingly enough, Jeff Howe of The Athletic was talking about the idea that the Steelers were reportedly attempting to dangle Pickens in trade talks during the draft, but weren't getting many bites.
I see what you're saying there.
I hope you enjoy that.
Yeah.
But yes, teams, quote unquote, laughed at the idea of bringing in George Pickens, even at the price of a day two selection.
Mm.
And it was indeed the Cowboys who jumped at the opportunity, obviously with a future pick after the draft. But does that at all change your perspective of this, that other teams had very much the opportunity and were trying to, you know, people were trying to get, the Steelers rather, were trying to get that bite. And mind you, also, who the person who initiated the idea of him going out there for a trade was reportedly Mike Tomlin. Like, he made the decision to trade Pickens. Like, does all of that factor into what you're thinking about with the Cowboys on what is essentially a one-year deal with George Pickens at wide receiver?
It kind of just reinforces my idea. I know you think there's a possibility it could be highly successful in Dallas. I do not. And only because look at the record of receivers that have moved on from Pittsburgh, that if you can't play for Mike Tomlin, who can you play for? And what you just mentioned, Mike Tomlin himself said, we got to move this cat. We got to get him out of here. It's undeniable how much talent he has and what he can do, especially with Dak Prescott, but I still think it's going to be a mess.
It's like contract year, though, is going to do it. Like,
true.
Contract year helps people lock in, right? There's a few things that serve as motivation for a player, right? It's contract year to get that money. It's, you know, having them babies out here.
Yeah.
Right? Get that money. And then also, one of my favorite underreported ones is when you have a dispute with that other dude because of a lady in between, that's always a fun motivational. Yeah. So, yes, obviously the one that's more obvious here, Pickens, a one-year deal, opportunity to get out here, really prove, obviously he's been a good player, but prove that, you know, he can do things in a way that would be appealing to teams and then go and become a free agent. And really make some money, I imagine. So we'll see how that ultimately goes. From the text line, the 832, that's a whole new spin on fantasy sports. Guys per team opportunity. And then from the 832, can't lie, I kind of like what Dallas does with 88s and the wide receivers when it comes to like keeping that number alive, but also making sure that you give it, like you kind of hold it back, but you give it to somebody who has that kind of prospect, which it feels like if there was a 56 that you were going to give it to, Abdul Carter feels like he's kind of in that mold,
certainly,
right?
You know, he certainly fits the mold, right?
Yeah. All right, there you go. That's around the NFL here in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. If you want to see all of the numbers, because it's literally all of them, right? We talked about Graham Mertz at 18, Woody Marks, 27. Jalen Smith, the cornerback, at 30, and then also the safety, 34. Jalen Reed, there's a lot of Jalen's on here. But, yeah, a lot of those numbers out there, and you can check out the Houston Texans social media.
Yeah.
Because they have posted the entirety of these numbers out there if you want to see all of them. All right, coming up next, we got some more reporting on what's happening at UNC with Bill Belichick. So the newest reporting on the Princess of UNC and what I think is the real sports point that it overshadows. 713-572-4610. We will talk about this next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.